Changing gears, I was going to do something else earlier in the week, but I kept feeling like the Lord was directing us that our church body, anyway, we just need to hear a message on heaven. And so I thought, all right, well, Lord, I had one I had been working on that I didn't finish. And when I'm done, you may think I still never finished it, but I'm going to preach what I have, whether it's 10 minutes or whatever it might be. But I want you to go to the first place of Scripture in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you can able to turn if you'd like to. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. I often read this at graveside at a funeral as the last words to leave with the family, because these are words in the Bible that are given a guaranteed promise to comfort us if we'll embrace them. And Paul says in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And I would like to interject this morning before I get started too far. We are a group of people that have hope. Amen. We have the blessed hope. Amen. We have the hope above all hope. We have a hope that is real and genuine. It is not artificial. It is not fake. It is not based on drugs or some man-made religion. But it is based on Jesus Christ Himself, the cornerstone of our faith. So I do sorrow. I do cry. I do weep. I do hurt. I go through pain. I have burdens, and so do you. And collectively, as a group of believers, this church, I believe, has what I might dare say is more than their share. But I'm glad that we have a hope that is greater than all those burdens. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord shall descend, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I think He's going to be excited too. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that is my desire this morning. And the title of my message is Heaven, a Place of Many First. Heaven, a place of many first. You'll see where I'm going in a minute. It has been a time of first-time meetings. Second, third, fourth, fifth, and on generations of believers will be all together at one time. That's something I can't hardly comprehend. You know, somebody used that phrase, put that in your pipe and smoke it, or whatever that phrase is. Well, that's hard for me to put that in my pipe and smoke it, amen. It blows my mind to think of generations before me. Every redeemed, born-again, Christ-trusting believer, even those who were trusting in the Messiah before Calvary, and all those that look back to Calvary, all of those will be in the presence of the Lord. And I'll get to meet the very first ever man and woman ever created. Adam and Eve. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I don't know if you've ever been to one of those places where you go meet and greet people, famous stars, or go get autographs from people. I don't know if y'all ever done any of those things. Some people do that with football. Some people get excited about different people singing and all this kind of stuff. And even some people do it around, you know, getting preachers to sign their Bibles. There's all kinds of different levels of that. But I don't know if heaven's going to have those or not. A bunch of people waiting in line, or how it all is going to work. But I think it would be interesting to meet Adam. And you say, well, I'm going to tell Adam a thing or two when I see him. Well, you won't be thinking like that when you get to heaven. Amen. You might say, boy, I'm glad I'm just as redeemed by the blood as you are, brother. Amen. The first man and woman ever made, I'll meet all the way back in the scriptures of Enoch, the man who was a was not. You've heard of an astronaut and a cosmonaut. He's a was not. He was walking one minute and God took him home the next. I'll get to meet that man. First time I'll ever get to meet him. And I'll get to meet Noah, the Noah Ark, and all that storyline there. I don't know if we'll go meet somebody and then a big movie will play. I don't think I'm going to be bored in heaven, not at the least. Like I said the other day, I don't know where I was preaching. I can get mixed up when I preach and who I preach to anymore. I don't know if I got some timers or all timers or what it is. But I'm just going to just preach. And if you've heard it before, just cut your hearing aid off. Amen. But I'm glad I'm going to be there, be in the presence of all that, and rejoice with those believers. I don't believe I'm going to be on a cloud floating around playing a harp for 5 million years. Amen. I don't look to that at all. But I get to meet Abraham, the one who was given one of the greatest covenants of all the Bible. Amen. The Abrahamic covenant. I'll get to meet Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. I'll get to meet Moses and all those that were there in that day. Joshua. I don't know where to put Job because he doesn't come before Esther. And they say the book of Job is the oldest book written. So I just stuck Job right in there, right before Deborah. And if you don't like that, theologically speaking, that's fine. Don't bother me at all. Amen. But the Bible, some people believe that Job wrote the oldest first book ever written in all the Bible. It goes back to the origin of when it was written by man. And that might be true. I do not know that to be true. But what a time to be able to meet a man like Job that went through more suffering than probably any of us all collectively together could even comprehend. Lost all his children at one time. His own wife and her own discouragement said, why don't you just get this over with? Just curse God and die. Let's just get this over with. And went through so much as a family together and lost all his possessions over and over, trial after trial after trial. I'll get to meet that man. And he said, it was the same grace that got you through that got me through in my life. I might not have needed as much grace as Job, but I needed the grace Brian needed. Amen. I need what I need. I don't know what you're going through, and you don't know what I'm going through, but I know God's grace is sufficient. And I'm glad I got a hope of heaven. I'm going to get to meet Deborah, which I believe is one of the coolest judges, if you ever studied that. They come down to the palm tree to listen to hear what Deborah had to say. They meet her at the palm tree with some directions. And when they went to battle, Barak was scared to go fight the battle without Deborah. She must have been a bad lady. I don't know much about Deborah, but she must have been pretty amazing at her abilities there. And we get to meet Ruth, which is one of the most beautiful four small chapters in the Bible there. David, Solomon, Samuel, Hezekiah, Josiah, one of the youngest kings. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all Isaiah prophets like that. Esther in the scriptures, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the 12 disciples, Paul, Timothy. I'll even get to meet Onesimus. I say, hey, Onesimus, I'm just like you. I was a slave and God delivered me and brought me out. I ran away from God and He delivered me and loved me. I'll find a lot in common in heaven that this old world's not affording me right now. I feel more like a foreigner and a stranger every day I get up in this world. And every day that happens, the more heaven gets on my mind. The more heaven sounds like it truly is my home, the more it sounds like I'm going to feel more comfortable and at home and at rest in heaven than I do here in this earth. My family, all generations that ever trusted Christ, I have hope of seeing my mom's great-grandpa, Alfred Bloom. That's pretty far back. That's up the tree a little ways. They said he was what they call a Swedish Baptist. And that he was a saved man. They told me stories of things he did for other people in his life, of sacrifice and service. And I always heard that when I was little. I had a hope of seeing him one day. Amen. I really do. And I mention this because the Scriptures give this thought here, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly. It's getting way darker than it had been in a long time. Every once in a while I try to clean the glass off with some Scriptures or my own self-estimation of things, and it just seems like it's not getting rid of the smudges, amen? I'm just not seeing things clearly. But the Bible tells us I see through this glass darkly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part. I know in pieces. Some of you say, amen, preacher, you sure are knowing in pieces. Well, I might be scattered in my thoughts. I might stutter in my statements. There might be times that I preach and run off. You thought I was chasing a rabbit and I come back with a kangaroo. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm only knowing in part right now. But one day I'm going to know as He knows in all things. Then I'll know even also as I am known in the identity of Christ. I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to know Alfred Bloom. He said, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says I'll be together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And if Joseph could manipulate the reunion of his brothers there and bring all those together, and we could get a little highlight of the rejoicing that came around when they got to meet each other again, I don't think God's going to cheat me out of some reunion in heaven. My family's not cool like some families. We don't have family reunions. When we did, we would fight, so we quit having them. So we don't have them anymore. And I hear other families that have them. Sister Virginia went to one not too long ago. I long for that. I miss that. We had one of the last ones we had was probably in the 90s, and almost 50% of that older generation, well, I guess all of them are really gone now, really think about it. They're all gone. When I get to heaven one day, I'm going to be reunited. I believe I'll be reunited with all the generations of those that are saved. I'll meet some I have never met before, like Alfred Bloom. I hope my mom don't get mad in heaven, and she might not. I don't think it's because it's heaven. No, there'll be too much going on up there like that. But I'm going to try to meet everybody I can, but I'm interested to meet that man. I'd like to know the influence that he had on our family, how it really trickled all downhill for us, amen? I'd like to meet him and tell him, thank God that we know the same Christ that he knew generations before, and that I got saved. And I'm part of the family of God. And it sure is good to see that many generations back. Be together. First time ever in heaven. I do believe I'll know as I am known. And I know that my identity in Christ is much, much broader, much better than it is in my little parts and pieces right now. Somebody said, preacher, do you think you'll know your loved ones in heaven? I'll tell you this. I'm not going to be dumber in heaven than I am right now. You know, all got the right to say amen right there for that one. For the first time, I'll meet face to face, spirit to spirit, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They say that the only fragments or leftovers of this earthly influence on Christ that are there in heaven will be the scars in His hands. It'll be a continuous reminder of that He gave Himself, gave His life for me. I know He lives in my heart spiritually, but one day I get to see Him face to face, spirit to spirit in heaven. And I'll know him. I'll recognize him. Amen. I'll know him by the scar, the wounds in his hands. I'll know him by his voice because I've heard it a few times down here on this earth. Amen. And I'll be around some things for the first time, but yet some strange way it won't be make me nervous. I won't feel awkward. I won't feel out of place. I feel like I belong there, amen. I feel like this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. And I say glory to God for that.
Yes, sir.
First time since my loved ones died that I'll see them on heaven's shore. Many of you younger ones, we got some young people in our church that have lost a lot of things early in their life. We've got some of them lost their parents, lost their dad or mom. Several of them. We got several in the church, young kids have lost. I know of four or five of them. But the older you get, the older your parents get. And some of your lasting memories are not necessarily the best memories. I remember holding my mom's withered hand. Every vein in it had been poked with some kind of needle or some kind of IV from the cancer. And it was bruised and blackened and it was so skinny and bony. And I remember that long night staying up with her and holding her hand and just trying to get a little rest and trying to comfort her as she was in the hospice house. And me and Joanna traded places. And I just had laid my head down on the pillow to try to get a little rest because it was Wednesday night and was planning on being at church, going to preach. Just had dozed off and the phone rang and Joanna called me and said, she's gone. I just had left. And you have a little left. I wish I would have stayed, but you know, I had no regrets. I gave her the best I could give her. But that lasting place where her body was shriveled and her gasping for the last breath and her face sunk in, all those are harsh memories that will be erased by the exceeding eternal weight of the glory of heaven. The next time I see my mom and see all my loved ones, you know, some have gone through a time where you weren't prepared for your loved ones to die. You didn't get to hold their hand maybe the last time. I know my nephew Israel, my sister died. She had a cardiac arrest and boom, she hit a telephone pole. She was in the hospital for a few days, took her off life support. But last time I got to speak to my sister was in Thanksgiving. Never thought that that would be the case. But many of you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes it's a shock and we're not prepared. And you get that phone call that shakes you and disturbs you and scares you and it breaks your heart. And the last time for so many of us, like my mom, they were just a shell of the person that you know in your mind, that you remember when they were young. I remember my dad was strong and he could just do whatever and just get around. Even though he had disabilities of things, he had a lot of physical problems, he was still strong. He was still a strong man to me. And well, the last time, same thing. Here we are at church. I'm teaching Sunday school. I get that call. Mr. Ellison, your father's going rush to the hospital. I believe it's cardiac arrest. We rush out of Sunday school, take off down there with the family. I get there, they're loading him on the ambulance, didn't get to speak to him. I rush to the hospital, and I get to that room, and I already got a sheet over his head. He's gone. The last time I got to speak to him was the day before. And sometimes you try to prepare, but you never really are prepared of that last image. But I want to tell you, church, the next time I see them, there'll be no sheets pulled over their head. There'll be no trachea sticking out their neck. There'll be no IVs in their hands. There'll be no withered, wrinkled bodies. There'll be no gray hair. There'll be no sickness and bruises. There'll be no touch, no stain, no scar left of this earth on their glorified heavenly bodies.
Amen.
We may approach heaven and hear the biggest commotion. You say, if you don't like a little noise, you better get ready. You may approach heaven's shores and what's all that racket up there? Woo! Glory! God, they created them and shouting for about 10,000 years. About 10,000 years going at it. Amen. Get to heaven, you may just shout, rejoice with your loved ones. and you may take your old crippled, old broke self up to it, and might get excited about the condition you're in when you get there. Brother Donnie, you went, oh, wait a minute, that don't hurt no more. Glory to God. I'm getting at the age where something hurts every day, somewhere. And you can be good before you go to bed and wake up the next morning and not be good. And there is no, you can even have cameras and no record. Anything happened to you paranormal in the night, you just slept and got up and it felt like you fell out of a barn or a tree or something. That's getting old. Yeah, getting run over. When I get to heaven, the Bible teaches and promises us in that moment, that twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible teaches us, Paul ministered to many of these things to the most carnal church, the most diversified church, the church that had so many ups and downs of life, that he gives so many spiritual references to the church at Corinth. Based on these things about heaven, I think to somehow get their focus where it belongs. That this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I need my affection set on things that are above.
Yes, sir.
It will be the many of many, many first. The first steps for the crippled and the lame. I couldn't even imagine I'd ever being able to walk or walk what the world calls normal on this earth. But be a believer and have this blessed hope and close your eyes in death down here or be gloriously raptured and lift up your eyes in heaven and your first steps may be on the streets of gold. You may say, what's going on over here? And say, this is a race. This is a relay race. This is a 50-yard dash. And everybody in here was missing legs or couldn't walk. They had cerebral palsy or they had spinal bifida. They had some kind of infirmity where they never were able to really get at it like they wanted to get at it. And all 700 million of them are going to run at the same time. And the Bible tells me this in 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And I can, a lot enters my heart.
Yes, sir.
A lot of things enter my mind. And it may sound a little weird to you, some of this, but I think heaven's going to be weirder. Heaven's going to be greater. Heaven's going to be more glorious than I can ever fictionally imagine in my mind. First step for those who are crippled and lame. We've had several in our church that have had prosthesis and things like that. When we get to heaven, their bodies, their glorified bodies, their beings that's fashioned like Christ will be whole. W-H-O-L-E. Complete. Nothing missing. Miss Wald's one of our widow ladies. Y'all know Miss Wald? She's missing a finger. Part of her finger got cut off. That'll even be back. Now, while you're shouting Sister Tonda over your leg, Miss Wall may be having a fit, got her finger back. A glorified finger. I mean, no, I don't believe we're going to, I don't know, somebody said that we'll be like Jesus about 33 years old. I don't know if that's true because that was the age that He died. People, I had a preacher friend of mine that believed that. I tell you, the older I get, that sounds really good, 33. And some of you that are 8 and 10, you're thinking 33 is so old, that is not heaven to me. So I don't know what it'll be, but I will not be old. I will not be graying. I will not be decaying. Amen? There will be many firsts in heaven that I will truly, thoroughly enjoy.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine the first sight for the blind person? Many that have been blind their whole lives, but they heard the glorious light of the gospel that entered into their soul. And their trust was in the Lord and their hope was blessed. And when they go to heaven, for some that had never seen anything here on this earth, amen, the first thing they'll see is that glorious city whose builder and maker is God. They'll see God on the throne. They'll see angels flying around the throne. And some that have lost their sight, having once had it, which my personal opinion, I think that would be one of the hardest things to lose. But hearing would be hard as well. Faded memories of what things used to look like, what colors used to be, what a sunset or a sunrise was like. They have nothing but distant memories. Well, for the first time, see the most glorious sight and beauty they have ever, those eyes could ever behold. I don't believe there's a sunrise or a sunset necessarily in heaven, but the S-U-N, amen, will be outshined every moment by the S-O-N. You don't have to worry about, I sure do miss the sunset around here. Why don't you go over to that throne and look at Jesus just a minute, and you'll forget about every sunrise and sunset that you ever saw with the pretty pink, purple clouds and all that. Just look at that rainbow, green, emerald rainbow around the throne. For some, it'll be the first sounds that those that were deaf. And it's almost a tie, I guess, to me, blindness or deafness. But I always feel really sorry for the little baby who can never hear its mama's voice. Never heard a sound in this world. And some are taught some sign language, and some maybe get saved later, but you know, some children die before the age of accountability. They die at a young age with nothing but scars and tubes and trauma in the hospital. They don't know nothing but suffering. And then when they get to heaven, all they'll ever know is glory and grace. Can you imagine never heard one sound in your life? You see people's lips moving, and you maybe can feel the vibration of thunder or a loudmouth preacher hitting his pulpit, but you don't know what they're saying. You don't know the words. Doesn't matter how much you enunciate them, they do not know what you're saying. They cannot hear auditory sounds. And but the first thing they ever hear in heaven, I mean, holy, holy, holy. What's going on? Holy, holy. I won't have to listen to no buzzards and no crows in heaven. Amen. It'll be angels and seraphims flying around the throne, crying out one to another, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That sounds like a pretty good sound to me.
Yes, sir.
They'll be singing and shouting like we cannot imagine. Music, I believe, in choirs and chorus and praise that only heaven itself can contain and hold. Now, if you get even as crusty as we are, if you get us stirred up in the Spirit good, we'll get together on a song and we'll sing the glory juice out of it. I mean, we just get in there. We can sing some song we've sung 1,000 times, but the Spirit of God anoint that thing, He'll be amazing grace. You get all excited. Can you imagine in heaven, all of a sudden it just breaks out, and 10,000s times 10,000s of 1,000s, the myriad of the saints of God in heaven, all those in that redeemed choir start singing that new song that we never sung before. And I won't be up there looking at one of you going, I don't know any words to this song. I'll know every single one of them.
That's right.
I'll never have heard it before. I'll never have sung it before. But I will not have no problem singing that song. I'll sing it. I promise you this, I'll sing the juice out of that song. As the Scripture says, Queen of Sheba traveled to meet King Solomon to see that kingdom. She'd heard about it, that he was one of the greatest kingdoms of all the earth. She goes in there and looks around. She sees his servants working, and she sees the throne that was ivory overlaid with gold, and there was big lions when you entered in the area, and just all kinds of tapestry and marble. And even the servants, they just enjoyed going to work every day. They just enjoyed being in His presence. There was just a glory cloud that just kind of hung around that place all the while. And when she met Solomon and asked him some questions and he gave his wisdom, she just put it like this: the half hath not been told. And I think many times as people do, we can transfer, we have a pretty good legal right to transfer that scriptural thought over to what heaven's going to be like for us. We may go, this was just a drop in the bucket, preacher, when you preached that morning on the many of first. When I've been up here for 10,000 years, preacher, and I ain't never rode the same ride twice. Just one new thing experienced after the other, after the other, after the other. You're talking about fresh anointing, fresh oil. You're talking about the power and the presence of God. All of things like that will culminate and combine together, and heaven will outflow and spill over in our soul like never before. Again, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the next time this old wicked world threatens you with heaven, just shake it off. Shake it off. I'm tired of worrying about how messed up our society is. It's just, it's like a little, I don't want to use this to ruin my message, but our world reminds me of a little poop turd in the toilet that's about to go down the drain. It's on the last rung. And there's not one thing I can do about it. And I'm not going to drive my tent stakes down too deep. This world's not my home anymore. I've built and planned dreams. I've had mortgages. I've worked. I have invested and just seemed like my tent stakes are driven all the way to the ground. But lately, I've been pulling them up a little bit. I think they're too snug. I'm waiting for the rapture wind of the glory of God one day to call the church out of here. And you and I that are alive, which is most of us, but not all of you right now, we're going to be caught up together with all of them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this old world can just flush right down in the sewer. That's where it's going. I want people to be saved. I want to reach out to my loved ones and my family. I talk to people sometimes. They'll say, preacher, I got a question for you. They really don't want the answer. They just want you to put a stamp of approval on their sin. And then you start talking to them and they get mad at you. Yeah, yeah. But one of these days I'm going to shake all that off too. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. One day I'm going to get to heaven. Take my last breath here. And my first one up there. There'll be no pollen. No pollution. Amen. There won't be any disease, pestilence of any kind. When we get to heaven, we'll just keep on inhaling the glory of God. We'll just keep on experiencing the glory of heaven around us. And I don't believe it'll be an impersonal thing. There is no time constraints on it. I believe the Lord's going to come and just fellowship with every single one of His children personally. And can you just imagine? Come on, child. Come on, honey. Let's sit down by this river of life. And let's talk about it a minute. And all those questions you thought, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why this and why that and why him and why her and boy, you get to heaven, memory wipe. It's all going to be gone. Your little server won't be able to download what you're getting ready to experience. You're going to have a glorified body when you get to heaven. And I long to be around what the glory is going to bring and contain in our lives. And some of you that suffered a lot in this world, I'm looking forward to being around you when it gets on in heaven.
Amen.
Sister Susie, you get to be reunited with your husband. We'll have to reflect on anniversaries of someone in the past that lost their loved one. They'll be reunited. If they're in Christ, they'll be reunited in heaven. Every infirmity that is represented in this church right now, there are many of all different types. The Bible says the former things shall be passed away. there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, no death. You could just name all those things or explain in those few verses. I know this has been kind of scattered, but it was what was stirred within my heart. I want Sister Tawna to come and play something for us, and every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved today and you're sitting in your pew and you're looking at some of these believers wiping their eyes and some of them are smiling and excited and you just like on standing on the outside looking in and this means nothing to you, you need to find out why it means something to us. You need to truly place your saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And find Him and understand your identity needs to be in Him and that you need to know Him in the power of salvation so that you could have this blessed hope. If you have this hope, church, it wouldn't hurt you to get in this old altar and just thank God for heaven. Thank God for a hope brighter and bigger and better than this place. Thank God for something that is real, that stirs within my soul. Thank God for the heavenly promises. One day, I'm going to heaven, a place of many firsts. I'm going to meet people I've never met. And I'm going to feel like I've known them all my life. I'm going to experience these things that I could never even endure, even if I wanted to experience them in this body. I'm going to join a choir of redeemed folks and sing a song like I've never sung it before. Miss Morey may get up there one day, Miss Virginia, some of these older saints, Brother Bobby, Miss Joe, that's still serving, living around here. They may get up there in heaven sometime. I'll be a little showcase, a highlight. And they may be able to sing some of these songs they've been singing over the years. Just have to change a few words around. Because they'll be in heaven. Maybe Sister Morey won't sing No Need to Doubt Them Out. It might be, I told you so. I told you. Amen. I long for a day of no more pain. Some of you hurt in every nerve in and of your body. You ache and suffer all the time. Some of you are going through mental things that people just don't get and understand. Some of you are caregivers. You're trying to help somebody who's going through stuff and you're carrying a burden and a weight. I left this point out. I was going to highlight it just a little bit, but heaven will be the first time I won't have any burdens. Not one burden on my mind, on my body, on my bank account. Not one bill will come in that will burden me more than it did the day before. No burden, no weight, no heaviness of any kind. Nothing but glory and exaltation. Worship. And the fulfillment of the presence of God. I hope you'll meet me there. I hope we'll be together there one day. The Bible says you must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So I hope you'll heed that warning. If you know that you're saved, it's going to get better from here. One day all these burdens will be gone. And I bless the Lord. Father, I pray that you'll help our people. Tried to share what you put on my heart. So limited, Lord, on how we can deliver. Lord, I know in part. I know in pieces. I know in fragments down here. But one day it'll all come together. It'll all be complete and whole. and I will understand it better in the by and by. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.